Good morning, everybody, and welcome to our worship here at Faith Lutheran Church. Yeah, I'm just sitting here. This is going to be my near permanent location here for this coming Sunday. And Pastor Roger Keller, he arrived last week, and here in 3 weeks we're going to be having a new member Sunday, and he and his wife Nina are going to be a part of our new members here, becoming a part of our congregation here full time. And even before he gets a chance to do that, I'm so grateful that he's able to kind of help fill in with the things that need to be done today. I have a knee that is making things very difficult for me to move even at all. So we'll do the best we can. We've done the service a couple times already. It actually has gone pretty well. So please bear with us on that. Now, next Sunday, we are going to be celebrating Christmas in July, a service of lessons and carols. We're going to have a fellowship also that's going to be very much like the fellowships that we do during the year. Now, whether you want to take out your Christmas duds and stuff for next week, I guess that's completely up to you. But it will be for all of our services, including the Saturday night service, a special service along with a fellowship. In 2 weeks is going to be our night at the game in Dunedin. The baseball game starts at 5 o'clock. For those that need transportation, we're going to be leaving the church parking lot about 3:45. It's a much easier trip to deal with in terms of getting to the stadium than it is going all the way down to the Trop. And the tickets are going to be a lot cheaper. Hopefully, we're going to have a lot of fun that afternoon. So, and with the other things that we have going on, including Vacation Bible School, a lot is going to take place. Please let us know that you are here. The Faith Fellowship cards are in the racks in front of you for both our members and our guests this morning.
Today's readings from Holy Scripture are for the fifth Sunday after Pentecost. The Old Testament lesson reads from Zechariah chapter 9. The king shall speak peace to the nations. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. Righteous in having salvation is he. Humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. I will cut off the chariot from Ephraim and the war horse from Jerusalem, and the battle bow shall be cut off, and he shall speak peace to the nations. His rule shall be from sea to sea and from the river to the ends of the earth. As for you also, because of the blood of my covenant with you, I will set your prisoners free from the waterless pit. Return to your stronghold, O prisoners of hope. Today I declare that I will restore to you double. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The epistle lesson is from Romans chapter 7. Paul struggles with the sin within him. St. Paul writes, "For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am of the flesh, sold under sin. I do not understand my own actions, for I do not do what I want, but I have. I do the very thing I hate. Now, if I do what I do not want, I agree with the law. That is good. So now it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells within me. For I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is, in my flesh. For I have the desire to do what is right, but not the ability to carry it out. For I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I keep on doing. Now, if I do what I do not want, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells within me. So I find it to be a law that when I want to do the right, evil lies close at hand. For I delight in the law of God in my inner being. But I see in my members another law waging war against the law of my mind and making me captive to the law of sin that dwells in my members. Wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Long ago, at many times and in various ways, God spoke to the forefathers by the prophets.
But now in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 11th chapter. And Jesus offers rest to all who come to him. At that time, Jesus declared, "I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and understanding and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for such was your good will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father. And no one knows the Son except the Father. And no one knows the Father except the Son and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. So come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. This is the gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Friends, God's grace, mercy, and peace is with us. In the midst of all of the things that our Lord does for us, for his yoke is easy and his burden is light. Amen. My text for this morning, after having gone through a couple weeks where our Lord said some rather difficult things, reminding us of what it means to be his disciple, now he brings to us that comfort of the gospel. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Dear friends, my message for today is entitled Spiritual Pulleys, and in order to do that, I think we probably need to have a little review on just what it is that a pulley does. Now, I've got a diagram, and there's a lot on that diagram, including some numbers that maybe you can't read, and even if you could, some of it might not make sense to you, but I think you can figure this one out. In picture one, it shows that there is a weight down in the ground, and that even as it goes around the pulley, as you were to try to lift up that weight, and these things are used a lot, by the way, on farms, these pulley systems, because and we don't necessarily lift weight, but when they build these barns have multiple levels, and they can't put everything on the first floor, so things like grain and hay will go up on a higher level so that it can be dropped into a wagon someplace as it goes by. So what is needed then with just a single pulley to lift up that weight that might represent, say, 100 pounds worth of hay bales is, if you've only got the one pulley, you need to have 100 pounds on the other side. But in diagram two, if you simply add a second pulley, now you have cut the amount of weight in half. Oh, it still weighs 100 pounds, but you only need 50 pounds of pressure with the two pulleys to be able to move it. In diagram three, you add a third pulley, and now all of a sudden, it only takes a third. So if you got 100 pounds, it only takes 33 pounds of force to be able to move that. And although the pulleys are starting to get rather small and close together there in four, when you can set up a special system like that, you have now dropped it to where 100 pounds to lift only requires 25 pounds of force. And so just by adding pulleys, you are making things a lot easier to move. And that's why, okay, maybe it's kind of a farmer's perspective on things, but that's why I called for today about spiritual pulleys, because we ourselves get help from the Lord God all the time. We have no idea what the burdens of life would be like to lift or to deal with if we didn't have the Lord helping us. One thing I can promise you, it is like the Lord has put us on a whole series of pulleys that we will never see. Spiritual things to help us through the difficult times. Now, unfortunately, there are many people, some of whom have never stepped foot inside of a church, and obviously those people would be called lost, but just as many who have been inside of a church, and for whatever reason, they're not in church anymore, and somehow they get tired of the gospel. For hearing it so long, it's almost like, that's old news. But for you, as a Christian, you should never get tired of hearing the good news. The power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes. That is always not only just good news, but the greatest news we're ever going to hear. Every single time we gather together, we eagerly anticipate the eternal rest given in and through Jesus Christ, which is the result of the good news. The good news about the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ being preached. And so then, But in the midst of some things where we are receiving a number of spiritual pulleys that help pull things along in life, we do need to understand that with God's help, we don't have to do it on our own. And in fact, we can't. You know, Jesus had just spent some time talking about how earthly families can turn against the faith. You know, a father will turn against his son, a daughter against her mother, and a person's enemies will be the members of his own family. We spent the last 2 weeks listening to Jesus say that, and it's true. Jesus isn't looking for it. He isn't pulling for it. He isn't going out of his way to set up the climate by which those things take place. In fact, he's the one that has built an alternative. He is the one that has given us something different. And the reason, my friends, is that Jesus understands sin like no one else does. Jesus faced the temptation to sin like we did, only he successfully got through it. But Jesus knows what the enemies of the faith are. Now, let's be clear, Satan has been defeated. On the last day, he is going to be sent down to eternal punishment, along with all of his angels, along with all of his minions, along with everybody who has rejected what Jesus Christ has given for our salvation. But until that day comes, even though he is beaten, he is going to roar and rage, and he, in a matter of speaking, is going to try to take every Christian that he can down with him. Which means that as long as you believe in Jesus Christ and what he did for you with his death and resurrection, you will have a giant bullseye right on you. Satan is looking for you, but Jesus knows that. And he has, that is why he gives us the things that we need through the power of the Holy Spirit so that we can resist the temptations. Not that somehow we're going to end up without sin, that does not happen. But Jesus understands not only the enemies of faith from outside, but the enemies of faith from inside. The epistle lesson that we heard a few minutes ago, some of it, you might have gotten caught up in some of the double talk. I do what I don't want to do, but the things I don't do, I end up doing and all of that. Well, just so that you understand, sin is going to hang on to us. Sin always is in our lives and stuck to us like super glue. It wants to grab hold of us, and it does not want to let go. And you become exhausted because there are all of these things that we've done in our lives where you look back and you say, I really did that? Why would I do that? Because sin is always at work within us. But Jesus knows that. And Jesus had a plan. And it's a plan that goes all the way back to one of the most special days in which he came in. Now, the Old Testament lesson goes back to Palm Sunday, and even as we're going back to celebration of Christmas next week, it seems that even on Palm Sunday itself, the story of Palm Sunday, Jesus coming into Jerusalem on a donkey, somehow gets lost, because that same Sunday is the only Sunday in the church year where we talk about the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. So let's take another look at Palm Sunday, because that procession into Jerusalem was a procession for a king. When they were shouting, Hosanna in the highest, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. These were people that had the expectation that this person coming in was going to lighten the burdens of all the constituents of the kingdom. And that this Jesus was going to go in and was indeed going to make himself, was going to coronate himself as a king. The crown of King Herod, whom he would see later in the week, was coming off. Whatever it was that was worn by the Roman procurator Pontius Pilate was going to be removed. The religious officials the one high priest that was appointed for that year named Caiaphas, and then the one that, since the high priest's office is supposed to be a lifelong office that was held by a person by the name of Annas, all of those people supposedly, the people that were yelling and shouting were thinking, this Jesus is going to replace them. Well, in a matter of speaking, he did. Jesus had a plan that goes well beyond what anyone could have prepared themselves for. But one who was preparing to do something in the only way that it could be done. And that, my friends, is bringing humility into Jerusalem. Coming in on, of all things, a donkey. When we hear about donkeys, we think, unless your thoughts go to some sort of a cartoon, when you think of real donkeys, you think of one or two things. Number one is a donkey that's so stubborn he just plain won't move. But the other then is a beast that when there's heavy loads, that's who you have move them. Not a glamour animal. The term that we used to use is a working grunt. Somebody that was there for the express purpose of working. And that's the animal that Jesus came in on. But he did it so that he could show people that he came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. And as he did that, his ultimate purpose was indeed to wear a crown, which he did. A crown of thorns. A crown of thorns that eventually gave its way to being nailed to a cross. And that's what Jesus did to lighten the load of our sins, to completely take them away from us. And even for those that want to continue to bother us, Jesus has had a plan. And that plan, my friends, comes to us in a little passage from Ephesians chapter 2. Now, earlier in Ephesians chapter 2, we might remember those words from 2, 8, and 9. By grace you are saved through faith, and this not of yourself, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. These words that are up on the screen are a little bit later on in that chapter where it says, now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ, for he himself is our peace, who has made us both one, and has broken down in his flesh the dividing wall of hostility by abolishing the law of commandments and ordinances, that he might create in himself one new man in place of the two, so making peace, and might reconcile us both to God in one body through the cross, thereby killing the hostility. And he came and preached peace to you who were far off, and peace to those who were near. For through him, we both have access in one spirit to the Father. And indeed, the access that we have is God making sure that now we receive from the Holy Spirit all of the things that we need. Every single pulley that makes the burden of life less, and in fact, gives us a whole new perspective on what it's like to have to move the things in life that have to be moved. Which means that now, even though the invitation is to Jesus, where Jesus said, come to me, all you who labor, the power to move towards him comes only from the Holy Spirit. That's what the process of repentance is all about, is having our eyes opened so that we realize how much we need the forgiving power of Jesus Christ. That's what the Holy Spirit does. And he says, and I, as you do this, I will give you rest. And the rest of Jesus starts with the changed perspective brought about by something he gives us for nothing. Something we had no business receiving. Something we could never ask for even if we wanted to. Jesus giving us the cross. A process that is called redemption, in which our sins are removed once and for all. Which means that also now the yoke of Jesus, where he says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in spirit. brings us back to the Great Commission, in which Jesus reminds us, since all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me, I want you to go. Make disciples of all nations by baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey all things that I have commanded you. The tools of the Holy Spirit, and it's part of a process that brings faith anew in us that's called regeneration. And finally, when he says, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. The burden of Jesus is actually the joy of living life in his kingdom and according to his ways. It's a continual process and a joyful, wonderful process in which we live according to his word. It's called sanctification, but it is all about watching that burden be lessened and lessened to where now we can take that. Our burden becomes now something that we're not only willing to bear, but we want to show it as a part of what we believe. Yes, as Jesus says, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. My friends, as each of us have received the spiritual pulleys that we need to lighten that load, let's bear the loads that we are given in life with joy, knowing that in good times and in bad, we have been drawn near to a Savior who that gave his life for us on the cross. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds forever through faith in Jesus Christ. Amen. And so at this time now, we are going to confess our Christian faith to the words of the Apostles' Creed. It is on the inside back cover of the hymnal, or again, you may follow up on the screen. Please stand as we confess our faith together. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. We receive our offerings, and if you've not yet filled out those faith fellowship cards, please do so. You may be seated. Friends, in place of the prayer response that's up on the screen, because of the arrangement we have with the pastors this morning, I will be offering a series of petitions here from the lectern. Pastor Keller will then pray the prayer for that petition. He will conclude each prayer with these words. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, you simply respond with, Amen. And so as we mark the passage of time, recalling the past, looking ahead to the future, let us pray for the church, that she remain faithful to Christ amidst many temptations, changes, and troubles. Jesus Christ, our Lord. Let us pray for pastors, teachers, church workers, and for all the people of God. Amen. Let us pray for those who occupy positions of authority in the world, in our nation, and in our communities. Let us pray for those who are sick, hospitalized, dying, or in any kind of trouble. We pray on behalf of Rose Wegner, who was involved in a car accident this past week. And also now, before we offer that prayer, we lift up our hearts in a moment of silence, asking the Lord for help for someone in our own life as we take that moment of silence. Amen. Let us pray for those that are going to be traveling during this season of reunions and family gatherings. Amen. Let us pray for peace, that from year to year we may experience a reduction in warfare and violence throughout the world. Amen. Let us pray for our enemies, that they repent, turn to God, and experience the peace of God which surpasses all understanding. Amen. Let us pray for those who serve in our armed forces, especially those who are serving far from home. Amen. Finally, let us pray for ourselves that we remain watchful and ready for the return of Christ. Amen. And just a quick reminder to all of God's people, if you have not been a part of, as we prepared for this, the communion that we're going to be doing this morning is what we call pilgrim style. We will start, after we commune the shut-ins, we will start on this side. All of you will come up in a single line, and you still can receive the elements as you do. The people doing communion will be here. After you have received the elements, if you'd like to take a moment to just spend some time in prayer, you may kneel at the rail before you go back to your seat. But then you will just circle back this way, and once we're done on this side, we'll go over to the folks over here, and we'll do the same thing. You come up, and then you just go over off, and you can spend some time at the rail if you care to. My friends, the table is ready. Welcome to the table of the Lord. And friends, may the true body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ strengthen and preserve you steadfast in the true faith unto life everlasting. Go in the peace and power of the Lord God as you depart in his peace. Amen. Thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have not chosen to reveal your truth to the wise and learned, but to those who become your children. Through your word, may we come to know you and your Son, Jesus Christ, who has taken away our wretchedness and given us eternal victory. Through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.